Second, they based their power on light chariots, on horsepower, just as the monarchies in the Near East. They also took over a lot of the bureaucratic organization of the Minoans. That included writing. And they took the linear A script and adapted it into a linear B script. And that script was deciphered in 1953 by a brilliant British philologist, a man by the name of Michael Ventris, who used the techniques of cryptology learned in the second cryptography used in the Second World War to decode German messages, applied it to the reading of linear B, and presto, it turns out to be an early form of what we would call East Greek. That is a dialect of Greece later represented by the language of Athens and the languages spoken by the Greeks settled in Asia Minor and the islands. And this was an extremely important breakthrough. From reading these texts, the linear B texts, and we have a number of them, again, tablets that were baked because cities were sacked, as I mentioned earlier, particularly at the city of Pylos, the legendary home of King Nestor, oldest and wisest of the Greeks, and in some ways my favorite figure in the Iliad as I get older and tend to ramble on as Nestor does. But we have a series of tablets that come from his capital, which give us the naval dispositions. We're able to read them quite accurately. The Greek is clearly an early form of Greek. And these linear B tablets indicate that the rulers of these cities went by a term called wanax, or in classical Greek, anax. The W sound dropped out of classical Greek, lord. A term in the classical age reserved only for Zeus and the gods, but apparently in the Bronze Age, in the period between, say, 1600 and 1200 BC, referred to the lord of one of these citadels. And the result is we get the usual type of bureaucratic records from the ancient Near East. They are remarkably precise in detail and yet tell us a lot about only a couple of things. For instance, the tablets at Pylos tell us the names of the favorite bulls of the king. I think one is Spot and the other is Blackie. It tells us the number of wagon wheels available and all of this sort of information. But what we don't have are, for instance, king lists, diplomatic records that we would have in the Hittite Empire. What we have is essentially a bureaucratic set of records. And we certainly don't have any kind of poetry or high literature or really much in the way of ritual texts. What apparently emerged on in Greece and in the Aegean Islands were these petty kingdoms ruled by Greek-speaking lords, wanakes in the plural, backed up by their chariot armies, probably ruling over a large subject population. Most of the people in the Aegean world did not speak Greek at this point. They spoke earlier languages. We're not sure what they are. The Greeks in later times called these people Pelasgians. They were the pre-Greek inhabitants. And we do know in the classical Greek language, as we have it, well over a third of the vocabulary is not Indo-European. It was languages that contributed the word thalassa, sea, which I mentioned earlier for sea power. That's a non-Greek, non-Indo-European word. It was adapted, probably learned very early when the first Greek speakers reached the Aegean. They asked, what is this called? They said thalassa, and they said, well, that's it, it's sea. And you have numerous words of that nature in the Greek language. So these early Greek kingdoms in many ways were patterned, miniature kingdoms patterned after the Near East, the bureaucratic states of the Hittite Empire, of Mesopotamia, and Egypt. On the other hand, there were some significant differences. In 1400 BC, the Minoanized Greek warrior aristocracy knocked over Knossos. They took it over. They took over the trade network. And there seems to be a considerable difference between these early Greek warlords and the king, the Minos, whoever he was, who ruled in Knossos. The Greek warlords were a much more rapacious and militant group. And I think that aspect of them is captured not only in the Homeric poems, but as Thucydides, the Athenian historian, again writing in the 5th century, said, looking back to earlier centuries, you know, when you read these early accounts, you know, Agamemnon and the heroes of the Iliad, these people projected back in the Bronze Age, and they say, what's your occupation? And they will say, pirate. It's perfectly legitimate occupation. These warlords substituted as pirates. They not only developed trade, they hired themselves out as mercenaries to the Hittite, the vassals of the Hittite emperor. They hired themselves out to lords in Syria and in Egypt. They also conducted trade. And they aggressively broke into trade routes in the Near East. They attacked Hittite possessions on the island of Cyprus. We have a number of records of their movements.